Hour number four on a Monday. Cowboys lose, Texans win big and solidify that they've got a young quarterback worth going up in the draft for. The Texas Longhorns come back off an off weekend and get ready for K-State. College football, Oklahoma State gets a win in the Big 12, so did K-State. Clemson establishes. Clemson solidifies the fact that they are one of the best in college football. Georgia beats up on somebody else in the SEC. This time it was Tennessee, and probably kicking Butch Jones ultimately out of his job. We've hit all of that today. Texas OU is a 2:30 kick. If you're just jumping in, the Bears are going to go with Mitch Trubisky. Maybe they saw that Deshaun Watson game and thought, well, we got one of those.
Mm-hmm.
We went way up to get him. I mean, what do we go up? A pick? We went up a whole pick. Let's go ahead and throw him out there. So you'll see Trubisky. They don't play until, I think it's next Thursday night, something like that. Like it's a bye, and then they play Thursday. So he's going to be playing as soon as they are back at it. And that's some of the stuff we've covered today.
Did you see Carr out? EJ Manuel had to come in?
Yeah, I did. Derek Carr. Man, he got crunched up. That was a Romo fall. He fell like Tony Romo, letting somebody have his back like that, and he just got all scrunched up. Trey?
And I just saw this on Twitter. He's out for at least the next 2 to 3 weeks with a broken back.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Transverse.
Well, transverse process break?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Dude, it looked awful.
Look at you two.
The transverse process.
You guys stodging as medical
that's right.
suppliers.
By the way, yesterday I got my first good opportunity to really listen to Romo doing
color analysis. Was a step down.
Tony Romo.
He was screaming.
Tony Romo does something as a color analyst that I have never in my life heard anyone do, and I'm not sure how to fully describe it.
Call out other plays, every other play?
It's not. I heard it described as calling plays, but he talks about it. He's not an analyst, and he's clearly not still a player, but he's in the middle in a way that I've never heard anyone pull that off.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I
imagine what Jay Cutler would have been.
And so, oh God. And somebody
not really a player and still trying to get to the analyst part.
He'd have just walked out of the booth, bored out of his mind after two quarters.
Before we get back to, we're going to open up some windows here. Before we get back, because I do want to hear your thoughts on Romo, please tell me you saw Jay Cutler in the Wildcat formation.
No!
I retweeted it.
Wait.
Kevin Dunn 01.
Where did he go?
He's at the very top of the screen, and he split out, and as they snap the ball, and he doesn't move. No, he just stares. The only person that I've ever seen do that was Ryan Reed, RIP Ryan Reed, who would do that, at Westlake, because we didn't have any other guys that could run 4.39s. Four fours, legit.
That is the saddest.
And so Ryan would do that if there was a pitch play to Nunez the other side. He would kind of give a little thing and then just turn his back and start walking just for S&Gs because you knew you weren't going to bench him. This I can't believe.
Oh, my God. All right, I'm going to try to find it at some point. That is pretty
hilarious. Get back to Romo. So you hear the screaming, too?
Oh, yeah. No, he gets really loud. He yells at weird times. And
he's going to be good.
For about 60 to 70% of it, I think it's fantastic for fans. And then for about 30%, I think he goes too far. But I feel like he's going to turn into one of those guys. All you need to be is an analyst for me. I only need one thing from you. It doesn't matter if you were a coach, player. You don't even have to have played. Just teach me something.
Mm-hmm.
Make me think. Teach me something while the game's going on. Romo teaches me while it's going on.
Okay, here we go.
That was interesting.
All right. You guys can go to sbnation.com if you want to find it, or just go to kevin.01.
Where is he, at the bottom?
Yep, he's at the bottom of the screen.
At the bottom.
Wildcat, ready?
Hands on the
Doesn't move. Hands on the hips.
Oh, my God.
Runs going the other way, but doesn't move.
That's priceless.
So I had to tweet our boy Trey Elling and say, that is as Jay Cutler gets.
Okay, I now know why I didn't see it. They were in the London game. Okay, see, I've never watched
this. One more time.
A second of those
games. You guys got to get at home. You got to go see
My
this.
My God, that's funny. All right, I'm going to go find this on your Twitter, and I'm going to retweet it. That is so good. That is so, so good. I missed that over the weekend.
Trey, you got anything on that?
The only reason why I am glad the Miami Dolphins allowed themselves to be swindled out of $10 million in signing Jay Cutler before the season started after Tannehill got hurt is because he is now being exposed nationally for what he actually is versus what a sordid few, I believe, were still believing that Jay Cutler could be. And there was a shot towards the end of yesterday's game where he was standing on the sideline next to Gase, and he had that typical Cutler pained look, and he was being stoned by his coach. Wasn't looking in his direction. You could tell how annoyed he was that he was even having to deal with Jay Cutler as his quarterback at this point, because Jay Cutler may not have been the answer in terms of getting the Dolphins to the Super Bowl, but they didn't think it would lead
that was
to
nice if you put May in there.
Yeah.
That was good.
They didn't think it would lead to being shut out or nearly shut out, save a last second touchdown versus the Jets. Two straight weeks
right.
against defenses that weren't thought of to be all that good.
The Saints shut him out. They got shut out by the Saints.
A couple weeks ago were throwing in, pretty much calling 911.
Yeah.
There was thoughts Kenny Vaccaro's probably going to get traded.
Uh-huh.
I was reading all sorts of what the hell do we do? Well, you know what you do? You face Jay Cutler.
Face Jay Cutler. So yesterday at approximately 1:36 p.m., Sacamano's wife texted me. Sacamano's wife is a Dolphins fan,
okay.
for those of you that don't know. She's a Dan Marino lover for a long time. Loves Dan, and then fell in love, and therefore she's a Dolphins fan. She and I talked when Jay Cutler became a Dolphin. She was very concerned because Sacamano is a Bears fan.
Yes.
So she also follows the Bears. She knows how Jay Cutler plays.
This was you getting Gary Darnell.
Exactly. Exactly. And he apologized to her right away, I'm sure. So she texted me two things. Jay Cutler is an asshat. And why is he
asshat?
And why is he still the Dolphins quarterback? Those were her two texts. Hey, I really enjoyed that.
One of those I can't answer.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Genetics?
No idea. Did you ever... the one good thing for the Dolphins...
Social environment? I don't know.
The best reason that I've come up with for why they got Jay Cutler is to make all the fans in front office appreciate Ryan Tannehill.
That could be it.
I think that's the only reason.
Kind of like how you're appreciating Doug Free now?
Correct.
The all-relative theory?
I am appreciating Doug Free more than I ever thought I would. Doug, if you're out there, are you sure?
Are you sure, Doug?
Are you sure you're retired? Because we could move Lyle to left guard and let you play right tackle.
Yes, you
and
could.
Let Chaz Green become depth real fast if you want.
I wonder what they're thinking long term with this, or if they're going to let this play out and they still feel like Collins can adjust to that position.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a great point. I'm not sure what happens there. I'm also, as a Cowboys fan, I'm interested. I'm always interested in kind of how the game plan rolls out. I don't like the fact that any game where Dak throws the ball more than they run as a team.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think that's a good formula. But the other one, Kevin, I said this to you during a break.
You went it pretty 50-50 with them, don't you?
I do, at least.
That's stupid. They're getting back to Len Amity.
At least. I'd love to see it more runs than passes. But the other thing is, and I know you've accused me of just being a Dez hater. It's not that. But I don't know if he needs 13 targets in an NFL game. I don't know if he does.
Well, you are sticking with what you do well.
What, rip on Dez?
No, you're an all-pro cornerback. You lock him down and do anything you can to keep him out of the end zone.
I try to lock down Dez. No,
keep him out of the end zone.
I don't mind. I mean, he at times he's making good plays. I feel like they're trying to get him involved early on.
Is he losing a step?
Which sometimes can be good. I kind of think so.
Okay.
But he's also one of the guys. The discussion around here is about Colin Johnson. How do you get him more involved? He's a guy that they camp out in one spot. And he never moves the whole game. Dez Bryant is, you always know where to look for him. He's on the same side all the time. He's out there at the same spot. And they haven't gotten real varied with what they do. I think last year they finally moved him in one game, kind of moved him around a little bit.
Well, they had to when they were down a receiver, right? The number two guy.
Yeah, I think that may have been what caused it. But he's got some drops. Now, look, Dak just missed him a couple times, too. I'm not saying Dez is terrible. He's not. But obviously the Cowboys did not have the right combination yesterday. And the ultimate thing there is it's 35-30, but you have to look at that Cowboy defense and realize – just it all has to tie together. That offense must stay on the field because that defense can't go out there for 30 minutes or more. They just can't.
No.
I mean, look at – and I'm not
– you guys should be a 40-20 team.
Yeah, that's a, oh, you know me. I love the 40-20s.
You know, obviously I'm saying that heavy, but it's, around that area.
It's 30 or more. For me, when they're in, when they can get up to that 32, 33, 34, 35 is really good.
That's when they're
set. But 30 to 35, Kevin, is a good, comfortable neighborhood for them because now I'm already seeing the average. Last year, their average, get this, their average was over 35 minutes. Now their average is down to like 26 or 27. So you're having 8 to 9 extra minutes where you say to the defense, go ahead and stop them.
Right.
Can you stop them? All you kids get in the back, kids in the back, hurt guys in the middle. Sean, are you good? No, you're out. Okay, you come stand over here. Hitchens, you're still out. Okay, all right. Well, Jalen, no, I know you haven't played in a while. You go play linebacker. You up front, all you guys, are you suspended? No, who's suspended?
It really is a roll call.
Which
isn't
one
it,
is suspended? Okay, you're not suspended. You play then. You play. Taco, can you? Yes, you play, and then everybody try to go deal with it for 9 extra minutes.
Yeah.
That's a tough. That's a tough.
What's up with Sean right now?
It's a tough way to do business. Sean Lee?
Yeah.
He is being durable as always. I have not heard the
latest
report
update
today
okay
on Sean Lee and what his prognosis is.
Ronald?
I haven't heard a Sean Lee update today. I'm assuming we'll get one during the week.
I think the official status right now is questionable for Green Bay.
Yeah. Todd Archer for ESPN a couple hours ago said Sean Lee hamstring and Anthony Hitchens knee could return this week against Green Bay.
Could come back. Yeah, I know. Yeah, they're both short time situations. That would really help them out. Clearly, those two guys could have helped them try to tackle Todd Gurley. They didn't do a good job of that. 23 carries for 121. For Todd Gurley.
He's a real thing.
And Zuerlein showed you why he's probably, as far as just pure kickers go, he might be the best the NFL has.
Were those the two best? With a kid in, with a Longhorn in Baltimore also included?
Yes. I put those three in the category. It's Bailey, Zuerlein, Tucker. I guess Gostkowski in New England has to be considered in
I
that.
I would think so.
In that realm. Yeah, Zuerlein doesn't miss. The one that may be the biggest.
He hasn't missed anything all year.
That's the biggest get of the Fisher era with the Rams. Apparently, Fisher didn't discover him himself, but one of Fisher's guys went to.
That's surprising.
The kid went to a little bitty school. I want to say it's like Murray State, or do they even have football? It's a little school. If you look up his school, I think it's very, very, very small. They went and saw him. I don't know what they if they've scouted him because it was him or it was a teammate, and they went and saw him, and they got back to Jeff Fisher and said, "Coach, this is the kid. This is the kicker we got to end up with. He's awesome. He never misses."
Jesus.
Whatever.
Missouri Western.
There you go. Missouri Western.
I've never heard of anyone going there.
Somebody was scouting in the area. I don't even remember why.
That would have been a good old school.
You're right.
I wouldn't have
gotten it. Missouri Western. We got to try to remember that one. That's out of control good.
The only way that Jeff Fisher did this consciously, like bring him in consciously, is if it was to spite somebody else. Like, screw it. We're bringing in this guy because F this guy.
Yeah, that's true. That's
right.
A good point.
And the only thing, though, is I think he would take his kicker seriously because with his 1971 offense that he was running, it was going to be important. He was going to be used a lot.
He was important yesterday. Trust me.
Oh, those
way
guys are
important.
Are very valuable in the NFL.
21 points. And when you got him, he hit yesterday, what, he hit 244s. Did he hit a 55 and a 56? Whatever, it was.
I don't know.
Oh, my God. I've tried to forget. I'm trying to put them all out of my brain.
All right, so what did we miss with college ball here?
Let's see. Tomorrow I can get into the A&M game. We'll do it on cleanup day.
I just want to know about the water.
Right, because the game's not important, but I think there's a couple translatable things that Texas fans need to know about off of that. But, yeah, the water thing got joked about. It is what it is. I can't. Hey, look, engineering school.
Yeah, you're
going to
get
stadium.
Hammered for that.
It's an easy one. I understand.
You're going to get hammered for it.
Chad, what's the deal with Daylon Mack? I see Kiki making plays. I see Henderson making plays. I'm not seeing a whole lot of Daylon Mack, though.
Yeah, he's not consistent enough throughout the game. He'll disappear. And it's weird.
Hasn't that been the story for 3 years?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I remember I'd see five flash and go, Chad, I mean, I saw Daylon make a couple plays. Why isn't he? You go, Kevin, watch the whole game. It's not there.
And you remember I told you when the depth chart came out, I had both feelings. I was excited in a way that somebody beat Daylon out to be the starter. But on the other side of that, it was, wait a minute, that's not good. Daylon needs to be the starter. Daylon needs to be an impact guy all the time.
Felt the same way about Larry Nibbles.
Yeah. I mean, It is, and it's different to me than last couple years when there were times there were A&M games where sometimes Myles Garrett would disappear. But I would argue that's because the middle of the defense was getting gutted.
Mm-hmm.
But you should not have a defensive tackle.
No, they were using his edge rush as something that they, you know, we're not going to be able to stop him, so we're going to push him out that way and shove it down your throat.
Yeah, your D tackles, if you know football, should not be invisible. You should notice them off of the thing. You should have a day where your run defense is great, then you start noticing them. But that's a great question, Trey.
Well,
and it's something Aggies have noticed. Number five is not always there.
And as a defensive tackle, you may have 17 tackles on the season, but boy, we noticed you a lot.
Yeah, your impact is different. It's not always a number.
Right.
But it's about your impact and keeping space. And Zakovan Henderson had some great moments against South Carolina. But as I'm sitting here thinking of it, Daylon Mack may have had two plays where I noticed him on Saturday. Because mm-hmm. the defense had their moments, plenty of them. But I can't remember noticing Daylon very much.
Saquon Barkley, what the hell is this kid doing? I mean, the kickoff back. Did you see the one-handed catch?
I did. That was impressive.
He is the best player in college football right now, and he is your early Heisman favorite if you actually care about that.
Where do you guys rank Bryce Love?
He's the favorite at the quarter poll.
Bryce Love is definitely in the top five. If you look at the top rushing totals right now, Chad, did you look at it?
I have not pulled it up.
Bryce Love is at Stanford. He's at 1,100, 1,200 yards. He's 300 or 400 yards ahead of the next person. He is, I hate to say it, running away with it.
Here we go. This is, you want total yards?
Total yards, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so
went over 300 last weekend against Arizona State, and he fires like a rocket through holes also. I saw it a couple times against USC, and he's kept that pace up, man.
He is serious, and that's a pro back.
Rushing yards is 1,088, and second place has 823.
Yeah, so there's 1,100.
Yeah, that's just rushing, so I don't have total in front of me.
I believe I read also that it's the fastest for a running back to get over 1,000 yards in literally decades, how quickly he got over 1,000.
Is that right? Yeah, he was. And because he put up, what was it the other night? 301?
301. He went for, yeah.
Right?
No, he's
wow.
He's serious. Washington has, I know they haven't really played anyone great, but Washington is still beating the hell out of people. They improved to 5-0. I still have my crush with them. And then my Irish look good. Notre Dame is looking better than I thought they were. They're playing a lot faster defensively. Wimbush is getting it a little bit, but
I like Wimbush.
I do too.
In terms of just being able to sling a football, that guy's got a live arm.
He had the highest, highest QBR or passer efficiency rating in all of high school. Well, I don't know how you gauge that, but the point I took out of that is this guy was pretty efficient in high school. I think once it slows down for him, he's gonna be able to get it. But when we talk about Fromm and Wimbush and some of these younger guys, and hell, even Bouchel and definitely Ellinger, that it's not all there yet. And sometimes it's just too fast for him.
Coming up, we'll get you a Craig Way Sports Report, Big Three as well. Monday Night Football is coming up. We'll get you a one and done. And we'll talk a little Texas football coming up. The latest from Tom Herman today, a couple of injury updates, and a guy you might see a little bit more of against K-State. It's coming up on the Horn.
You gotta fight!
So let me guess, Trey, this is You Gotta Fight for Your Right to Live for Tom Petty? Is that what you're saying?
Fight for your right to party, yeah.
That's right. Tom Petty fighting it.
I got an update from Christina 2 minutes ago.
What do we got?
Still fighting.
Still fighting, baby.
Still fighting.
Still fighting. Still riding down to King's Highway. Still learning how to fly. Running down a dream. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, baby. We're not going to believe it until Tom gives it up. And Tom hadn't wanted to give it up yet. So those sources earlier today, a couple of them have had to now back off and say, no, we had it wrong. Tom's still fighting. So as far as we know, Tom's still fighting.
The texters still don't think you're innocent. I'll tell you that.
The texters can think whatever they want. Tom Petty's going to fight it, baby. Is going to fight it.
Finally, y'all see that we missed Doug Free. I'm sorry that a bad holding call on Travis Frederick on that 2-point conversion.
God, that was a terrible call.
There's no other ideas here. But, yeah, I think we do miss Doug Free, or y'all miss Doug Free. I don't.
Yeah, I would think so. It's definitely a different offensive line this year. There's no doubt about it.
Actually, I do. I do miss Doug Free. Why? Because that's one of the hardest things to get five, and one can mess it up, even mm-hmm. with the other four if they're really good. to get that unit playing like that. You just don't get it a lot because it's so rare, especially in the salary cap era, to get five really good linemen or three really good ones and two that can do the job and see them function as a unit. And as much as I'm not a Cowboys fan, there's a reason I like watching Dallas and Oakland, because they can move people.
Yeah, it is a lot. Football is a lot easier business to deal with when you can block people.
It's funny.
That offensive line can help.
I heard that, and apparently tackling is big.
Tackling can be really big. That can be really important. Just ask Tech fans. They think they're doing a little better now than they used to.
And they are. But what did I say on Friday?
It's all relative.
Yes, sir. You got to get Jack Johnson on that one.
That's right.
It is all right. So they are better, but they're still got some problems.
All right, Big Three coming up. Before that, how about a Craig Way sports report? Craig Way.
A back-to-work Monday for all of the schools in the Big 12 Conference, preparing for nearly a full week of games after some of the schools had bye weeks on their schedule last week. Only Baylor and Oklahoma State will have open dates this coming Saturday. At his weekly news conference earlier today, Texas head coach Tom Herman was asked about the condition of starting quarterback Shane Buechel, who we learned over the weekend has been in a walking boot the past few days, but who is not expected to be hampered by it, according to the head coach.
Yes, the boot is protective, so he went out yesterday in practice, pretty big brace on. We didn't put him in any situations where there was a defense because he still wasn't moving really well. So he'll wear the boot unless he's training or practicing or whatever. We're going to get a PRP shot in that ankle to try to increase the healing time on that, but... you know, we think that he'll be, won't be 100%, but, you know, quarterback with an ankle probably doesn't need to be 100% to be serviceable.
Scheduling note for you, the annual Texas OU Red River Showdown, which has predominantly featured an early kickoff in recent years, either 11 a.m. or noon, will have a 2:30 p.m. kickoff a week from this Saturday. That announcement was made by the Big 12 Conference today. Coming up tomorrow morning, a look at the other area colleges' preparations for the week. That's in our next report. I'm Craig Way.
Brought to you by Bud Light.
Thank you, Mr. Way. How about a Big Three here in the 6 o'clock hour?
The Big Three.
Craig mentioned the Texas OU 2:30 kick. We've talked plenty of college football today as Texas gets ready for Kansas State. Oklahoma State with the win over Tech. K-State beats Baylor. Clemson beat Virginia Tech and took advantage of three turnovers doing it, including that pick six rolling off of people's heads and body parts yeah. And all that. That was crazy. Georgia beat Tennessee 41-0. Georgia had 55 carries for 294. Nick Chubb, 16 of those for 109. He averaged 6.8 a carry. Georgia feels pretty real right now. The question in everybody's head, Kevin, is are they go to Atlanta and give Alabama a game real? That's the question.
Not right now. Defensively, they're there, and they've got some guys that can go. If you watch this game, you'll see and you could feel that Fromm looked more like a freshman. And with Tennessee having all of their emotional and internal issues, that there was other parts that Georgia could win. They protected Fromm in the Mississippi State blowout. He went 9-12.
Mm-hmm.
That's great, but you know, Chubb only had 15 carries. The blowout was in process. If they get into a game and he's got to move the football, you've heard Dave Paul talk about it, who's a Georgia alum, there's still a worry there. And Kirby said this week that he pulled the Tom Herman. I like it. He said, we'll see who practices better. Like, whoever practices better will get the job.
Okay.
So, Jacob, here you go.
My favorite thing about Fromm's these last couple weeks has been that attempt number.
Oh, yeah.
That's been a really nice number for him.
But if you get into a game where that's got to go up.
Then you find out.
Right. There's a reason those numbers are like that.
Well, you know, when we had Dave Paul on last week picking on Beat the Pluck one of the last couple weeks, being a Georgia guy, he said it, in his opinion, he said, you got two quarterbacks. He said, one of the guys has an absolute cannon.
Jacob Eason.
And can throw whatever you need him to throw. And the other guy just wins.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, oh.
And has a strong enough arm.
And has enough of an arm, right. He can make
some
throws.
This isn't Kellen Moore or the kid at Wisconsin, who I like a lot, who's just throwing puff balls.
Georgia's about to go undercover at Vanderbilt and Missouri at home. You'll only care about those if they lose. Then they're off on the 21st. Then it's the cocktail party, which, my God, those two defenses are hard-hitting groups. Then they play South Carolina. From my work this weekend, I can tell you Georgia is going to beat South Carolina.
It's
going to
be ugly.
Oh, my God. At Auburn's a great one, though. Georgia at Auburn coming up November 11th. Circle that bad boy.
Something about when those two teams play.
Woo-hoo! That's a monster right there.
And I love Georgia at Auburn.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I love the way that looks.
They can play anywhere they want. They can play in my backyard. It'll still look great.
All right, we still got some more cleanup tomorrow.
Yes, we do. Lots of cleanup going on. All right, there's some big three for you. We will continue to clean up tomorrow. We get a one and done before we get out of here? One and done? One last thing?
One last thing. We'll put it all together.
One last thing. One and done. Brought to you by Texas Card House. Go at Texas Card House on social media, texascardhouse.com. Kevin Dunn, what do you got?
Just to finish things up, who's the best team in the NFL in the state of Texas? Trey, you got an answer?
Who's the best team in the NFL in the state of Texas? Man.
You got two choices.
The Texans right now.
I think it is the Texans today.
I think it is, too.
Man.
And it is. It's amazing what a quarterback does. I want to see you guys figure out the offensive line. I'm not sure you can do that within the season, but there's things you can play around. There were some things I really liked last night. I felt like Zeke was starting to get a better rhythm. And when they throw the ball, they did do it four times, including that screen play. There are still some other things they can do offensively, and I think they will. I think they're the team to beat in the East, but something about the way Watson's playing, I did not see it coming, and it's been fun to watch.
He's playing great. All right, we'll clean up some more football stuff tomorrow on a Tuesday and head towards the rest of the week with Texas playing K-State. More on that matchup coming tomorrow. Washington and Kansas City in Monday Night Football tonight. No protesters outside that game, I'm sure. We'll talk to you tomorrow on a Tuesday.